Our second reading for today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. At that time, Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry, and began to pluck the heads of grain and eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." And he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and ate the bread in the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for him or his companions to eat, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and yet are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And he left that place and entered their synagogue. A man was there with a withered hand, and they asked him, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Suppose one of you has only one sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath. Will you not lay a hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a human being than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and he was restored as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. Here ends our reading. You may be seated. Better take this with me. Grace and peace to you today from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, good morning, everyone. Morning. For our friends and visitors here with us today, I'm Pastor Scott. I'm one of the pastors here at Bethesda. And like I mentioned earlier, Pastor Peter's out of town. But today we're still in the sermon series that we're doing on the Ten Commandments. There we go. Which is part of a series of teachings that came out of the Reformation is part of Luther's Small Catechism, which was a teaching tool written by Martin Luther, and it was originally written so that way it could be used by parents to teach the Christian faith to their children. So for anyone who's ever studied the Small Catechism, you know, maybe it might have been when you were just taking a look around at things, or maybe it was when you were in confirmation yourself, you know that the Ten Commandments and their meanings are one of the main parts of the book, so that's why we're focusing on them today. So sometime later, after the Small Catechism was written, Lutheran theologians realized that throughout Scripture there are two ways to look at God's law and how it works. And the first way that the law works is by placing restrictions on what we're supposed to do. You know, since we're talking about the third commandment today, we know that from this law we are supposed to keep the Sabbath day holy. Doesn't mean we always do that, but that's what we know this law for. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the speed limit sign. You know, the law on the sign, you know, shows us what the limit is. So that way we know how fast we're supposed to go. But it doesn't always stop us from going over the speed limit. You know, the law on the sign shows us what the speed limit is. But as far as actually keeping us from going over that limit, that begins to another aspect, that belongs to another aspect of the law. You know, as represented by the lovely man or woman in the car with the flashing lights. You know, that's what the second use of the law is. You know, when we break God's law, you know, what in the Ten Commandments, what the Holy Spirit does is it holds us accountable to that law. But the wonderful thing is the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us there. Instead of shouting that we're guilty, what the Holy Spirit does is he drives us to the foot of the cross, where we encounter the love of God through the grace of Jesus Christ. So, we're talking about the third commandment today. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, in order to understand what God is demanding of us in this law, we need to get a couple of things that aren't quite as obvious to us about this law as they were to the Hebrew people that were out there in the middle of the deserts in the Sinai Peninsula when God gave this law to Moses. So the first thing is what is a Sabbath? Well, when I was doing my research for this, that's actually kind of a good question. You know, our word Sabbath comes straight from the Hebrew word, Shabbat, which is just means the seventh day. You know, God makes the seventh day an important part of creation right from the get-go. You know, back in Genesis, when God made the world, we were told in Genesis chapter 2 that by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because he had rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So God made the first Sabbath when he made the universe. But why did he do it? I mean, does anybody actually think that God was like, wait one, guys, that was quite a bit. I need to take a breather here. No, of course not. God doesn't need to take a break. You know, an omnipotent, all-powerful God would never need to just take a break. So that kind of begs the question, then why did he take one? And I think the answer to that question is that he was making an example for Adam and Eve, who were the first humans to be made in God's own image. He designed it to our nature so that way, you know, we would, because he knew that we would need to cycles of rest and work. And, you know, if you kind of are wondering about this yourself, has anyone ever worked so much overtime or so hard that you've just gone weeks and weeks without a day off? Yeah? That usually doesn't work out very well. You know, how utterly physically and mentally exhausted were you after that? I know when I've done that, it's pretty rough. You know, and that's not what God wants us for, or wants us to do that. You know, that's why his number 3 on his top 10 rules for life is to make sure that you take a day off at least once a week. And it's because we really need it. Without this time of rest, we just can't function. And it's for this reason that, you know, God designed us to design this manner, because it's not meant to be who we are. We aren't supposed to work all the time. We need to take times of rest too. And so, just to make his point, when he's giving his, you know, the top 10 things that you need to do in life, this is number 3. It's one of the big higher up ones on the list. And you know, because sometimes people like to work. I know there's some workaholics. You know, God doesn't just say don't do this like he does with some of the other commandments. He explains why too. So we see in verse 15 of our reading for today, it's that remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commands you to observe the Sabbath day. And that's from Deuteronomy 5:15. So remember that when God gave this law to Moses and to the Israelites that were with him, they had just come out of Egypt. You know, and they were there for as long as anyone could remember. And while they were there, they were slaves. They'd been slaves for many generations. So day in and day out, for all their lives, they worked to build the kingdom of the Pharaoh with no rest. But this law that they got from God was a reminder that they were no longer slaves. They were free men and women that belonged to God, whom they trusted to take care of them, and they did not belong to any man. And because they belonged to God, the Sabbath had one more purpose. While they were there in the wilderness, you know, God gave them a rule. God gave a rule to Moses that was not part of the Ten Commandments, but was kind of an expansion on it. So in Leviticus, God says, there are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest. So there's one thing that you're supposed to do with it. And then there's another thing, a day of sacred assembly. So the Sabbath is not only meant to be a rest from work, it's got a dual purpose. The second purpose is it's a time for God's people to come together as a sacred assembly. You know, you fast forward to the New Testament for a moment, and that's exactly what the new community of believers in Jesus are called. It's an assembly of believers. And then the Greek word, actually, that the word church comes from is ekklesia, which literally means assembly. But on the Sabbath day, we're supposed to come together as a sacred assembly of God's people. But what is it that makes that assembly sacred? I mean, it certainly isn't me, or you, or even this building that makes it holy. It's something different. when that's something different, it's God's word. The thing that can make anything holy. And God's word makes lots of things holy. It can make water holy in the Baptist. It can make bread and wine holy in the Holy Communion. It can make words on a page holy in a book that we call the Bible. And it even can come to live within us and make us holy by indwelling the Holy Spirit. See, only God's word can make anything holy and sacred in this world. But since God's word is what makes this time together sacred, you know, that's why we as God's people come together regularly to hear God's word read and explained, and to see and touch God's words in his sacraments. And that's what Martin Luther was talking about when he wrote his explanation to the third commandment in his small catechism. This is what he wrote. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching in his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. So I know what some of you might be thinking. Yeah, Pastor Scott, that's great and good, but Luther was talking about Sunday. God was talking about Saturday. That's what the Sabbath really is. It's not on Sunday. And, well, if that's you, you know, then you're absolutely right. And it's for that reason that some Christian groups out there, especially, you know, the Seventh-day Adventists and the Messianic Jews, not to mention the entire Jewish faith, they all meet for the Sabbath on Saturday because, you know, Saturday has always been the historical Sabbath. But however, early on in the life of the church, you know, the apostles decided that when they got together and they decided that when people that weren't Jewish came to the faith, they didn't have to follow the laws of Moses that pertain to how the faith was lived out. You know, Paul wrote about this in many of his letters, especially in Galatians. But concerning the Sabbath, though, this is what Paul wrote when about when the Sabbath is celebrated. And he comes to the conclusion that it's not something that's all that important on when you do it. This is something he wrote. He said, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, whether that's a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. These are the shadow of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Now, because of that whole idea, you know, since the time of Acts, Christians have been meeting together on Sundays in memory of the Lord's resurrection. Now, it's in Acts that we were told about one of these Sundays where Paul and a community of believers preached, worshipped, and held Holy Communion with a church in the city of Troas. Here we go. So on the first day of the week, that Sunday, we came together to break bread. And Paul spoke to the people, and because he had intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. Don't worry, I'll try to not emulate Paul in that. I'll get you out of here before midnight. But the important thing here is that we come together as God's sacred assembly to hear the first thing, the word of God, and two, to encourage each other in the faith and to rest from our day-to-day lives. Whether or not we do anything that is technically work on the Sabbath is not something we really concern ourselves with much anymore. Because as Christians, we're not to be held to that part of the law anymore. And that's what Jesus meant in our reading for today when he said that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And it's not what you do or don't do on the Sabbath that matters. You know, it brings to mind a Jewish friend of mine when I was at the Army Chaplain School, and when he was celebrating the Sabbath, there was a very long list of things he could or couldn't do. You know, not opening up the door of his hotel room, he couldn't do. He wasn't allowed to do that. You know, that's getting into the weeds a little bit. And that's one of those things that Paul was saying that you're kind of missing the point. But the Sabbath was made by God to be a day of rest and as a time for us to get together as God's people. What we do beyond that is taking something good that was given to us by God and turning it into a rule again to oppress us. Kind of like I was talking about with my Jewish friend there. And you know what Luther would say about this is when you do these sorts of things, you turn Christ into Moses. You're taking something that was good that was given to you by God and turning it into a law again. And that's, if you're doing that, you're kind of missing the point. What the important thing about the Sabbath is that we learn to love to come together to pray, to hear God's word, and to receive Christ in his sacraments. That's what the important thing is, and how we can observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Let us pray.